Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Monday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FCN, right here on Game Plus Network. Chris Meany hanging out with you on this Monday. Hopefully you're having a fantastic day. You had a great weekend. You are ready to dive into all the sports happening this week. We're going to continue a lot of football talk here on the show. Last week, we talked wide receiver sleepers. Today, I got five running back sleepers and then like five or six undervalued, less sexy names. Isn't that what a sleeper is anyways? Undervalued players, players who are going to outperform their ADP. We can talk ADP left, right, and center. We have been on this show for a couple months. It's not everything. I will say that. If you want a guy, go get a guy. But for the most part, we are trying to seek value here on this show. So I got five running backs that I feel like are sleeper running backs. I tried to stay away from rookies, but I do have two rookies in there. And then I was just looking and it's like, man, there's a lot of just unsexy names, kind of veteran backs that are going outside the top 50 at the running back position that I really wanted to just share with you guys as well, that could be, you know, worthy of just late round picks, like especially if the first part of your draft doesn't go the way you want, you're not getting some of the running backs that you like. I got a couple that could maybe just help you out early on. They could be something for you in the season, kind of just tread water. Hopefully you're not in a brutal situation, you know, already. You know, we're not even here at week one of the NFL season, but you never know how things could happen in your draft. There's a couple of running backs that you want that you have, you know, on your short list that you couldn't get. And maybe you feel like you're thin at the running back position. So we will talk running backs a little bit later on in the week. We'll talk tight ends and quarterbacks as well. And then we'll switch gears and do some busts. And we'll get into rankings and tiers as we turn the calendar basically to August. So there's going to be a lot of fantasy football rankings and tiers and busts and sleepers and breakouts, all that good stuff here to get you set for your fantasy football drafts, because we are just about 45 days or so until week one of the NFL season between the Rams and the Buffalo Bills. A lot of football talk here on the show. We're going to continue the NFL team previews. We are inside the AFC South, one of the weaker divisions in all of football. We got underway last week with the Indianapolis Colts. Today, we're going to talk about the Tennessee Titans, the 12-5 Titans from last season, but no A.J. Brown, Derrick Henry, a beast before he suffered the foot injury. He really was a beast, averaging over 30 touches a game, just like Derrick Henry, right, of old. And I say of old, but man, he's really fallen down draft boards. I think people are kind of out because of the foot injury. They want to get out before, you know, we really start to see him fall off a cliff, but he's just a different beast. He really is. Jake Seeley, All in Football, can be caught right here on our FTN Network YouTube page, as well as Game Plus Network. He said he wouldn't be surprised if he finishes RB1 overall. I would kind of be surprised, but I see where he's going. You know, volume and opportunity, still one of the better backs in all of football. And although he doesn't catch a lot of passes out of the backfield, he still was first in fantasy points per game in a PPR setting last year. And he has seen a little bit of an increase in each of the past couple seasons in catches and targets per game. Of course, that's not what he's all about. Like, he can catch. If I was the Titans, I would run at least one or two screen passes a day to Derrick Henry a game. Why not? I mean, he's such a beast in the open field, throwing guys around with stiff arms. I just like give him the rock in open space and let him buck. But maybe they will this year with no A.J. Brown. They got Robert Woods on the squad. They got Treylon Burks on the squad as well. James Robinson, bat season. George in the house, of course. James Robinson is in the news today. Doug Peterson, head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, said that Robinson will not start the season on the PUP list. I saw some video of him out there in practice today, taking a couple handoffs. That's huge news for James Robinson. We've talked a lot about him actually on this show. Everybody's target is Travis Etienne. I get it. Travis Etienne has got a lot of upside. We've yet to see him take a snap on the NFL field yet. Of course, he suffered the injury last year before the season got underway. He has really skyrocketed up draft boards. I've seen him go as early as RB10. On average, he's right around RB13. Out of Clemson, Trevor Lawrence out of Clemson. There's that connection there. It was that first-round pick from Urban Meyer and Company last year. It remains to be seen if that was a good pick or not. But James Robinson is a really, really good running back. He suffered an Achilles injury towards the end of last season and a lot of speculation that he wouldn't be ready to start week one. But this is a huge, a positive sign for James Robinson. And he is going to continue. He's going to jump up draft boards. We're on round 14 of NFFC targets. ADP of the last 5-6 weeks, we're going to look at round 14. I believe James Robinson was round 13 or round 12. roughly RB48. I mean, if you've been drafting it and you've taken a shot on him, it may be one of the better early round draft steals. It really, and he's going to jump up now. He really is. I believe Peterson when he said, when Robinson is healthy, he is going to be the lead back. I truly believe that. I think ETN, you can line him up all over the field in the slot outside. He's going to get some carries for sure. But Robinson's a really good running back. Don't let Urban Meyer fool you. Like he, him going to Carlos Hyde last year was just him off his rocker. Not going to lie. We're going to get into a little bit more Robinson. I think I just kind of said everything I needed to say. There's a couple big trades in the NHL over the weekend. I think the Flames did pretty good. The back's up against the wall. Matthew Tkachuk didn't want to sign a long-term deal. He was a restricted free agent. Now he is a member of the Florida Panthers, and he signed a lengthy deal there as well. And Calgary did pretty good getting a couple pieces back the other way. We'll dive into that a little bit. Kevin Durant and the Boston Celtics are in the news, and we will have some MLB picks and some MLB props for you as well. And speaking of MLB, how about our guy T. Jones, tenacious T. Jones, getting it done again over the weekend? My goodness, this guy is just, he's the GOAT. He really is. He's the GOAT. And it just seems like every other week there, he's in on it. And we see Rotomania in there as well. A big showing from him, 50K. He is part of the MLB DFS fam. You see his lineup there. He had Shohei. Oh, baby. And, you know, Shohei kind of got lit up towards the end of that start. It could have been even better for Rotomania. But, you know, Vlad in there, the Blue Jay stack. He had written up the Blue Jay stack. All this stuff is you know, in our cheat sheets as part of our FTN daily, you know, package cheat sheets. These guys aren't just like writing articles and saying, you know, oh, I like the Jay stack. I like this. They're just giving plays for the sake of giving plays. We have a cheat sheet for all the sports, DFS, NHL, PGA, MLB, NBA, NFL, where we go in and our cheat sheet, you can click on anybody you want and just shows the exposure that they're going to have to certain players. We're not rolling out 20 players. Usually go from like 5 to 7 players, a couple of our favorite pitchers, the percentage of, you know, say you're going to play 10 lineups, you got 30% ownership to Shohei Ohtani, 3 of 10, you know, good stuff from those guys. Tenacious D. Jones, David Jones, friend of the show, been on the show before as well, part of the Prize Picks Prop Show family. He is a super sharp mind, and he just wins. I feel like he wins every other week. Does he not win every other week? I think so. I think he wins every other week. So good stuff. There's still time to get, you know, our DFS package. If you get it now, you get MLB the rest of the way. You get some PGA stuff in there as well. And before you know it, NFL is going to be here the first week of September. NHL, NBA to follow as well. So we have packages over at ftndaily.com/pricing. Use the promo code MEANIE. Save yourself a little bit of cash, but you can get involved in all of the sports that we have to offer with that DFS package. So congrats to those guys. Congrats to the subs over at FTN that have tailed recently, and a lot of articles, a lot of content, and plus the MLB DFS show every single day to walk through the strategy and some picks, Discord channel, tools, projections. It's all included in the FTN Daily DFS package. Good stuff from T. Jones. I call him T, Tenacious D. Jones and company. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to get into some of those news items, and then we'll dive into the Titans. We'll dive into some sleeper running backs. We're going to have a lot of fantasy football talk here on the show, and we'll wrap it up with some MLB picks and some MLB props as well. I got a couple that are long shots, but I think we may get one or two of them. Hang around. We'll be back. Welcome back in. Mean Streets here live on Game Plus Network, hanging out on our FTN Network YouTube page. If you can smash the like button, you have any comments, any questions, you can certainly leave them there. Things you'd like to see on this show, any questions you have, keeper league questions, absolutely anything, you can leave them there. I always circle back on this show as well. You know, I used to do that all the time. I made sure I did it come like if I gave NHL picks and NBA picks, and just especially in the association, so much changes like from a day-to-day standpoint, guys, late scratches, you know, that prop's no good. This one, you know, now maybe consider this player on that team, but still always circling back, you know, in case there's any late minute scratches or any edges that I do find in MLB. But I will have some picks a little bit later on. I see Mr. Nice Guy hanging out as well. Best sleeper of the year. Wow. I don't know who the best sleeper of the year is. We got some running backs for you. I don't know if you caught the wide receiver sleeper episode last week. We have it condensed on our FTN Network YouTube page. You can go back and watch that. But, you know, certainly a couple wide receiver. When sleeper of the year comes to mind, I feel like I'm always thinking of wide receivers, guys that could, you know, potentially are in new roles or, you know, new head coaches come into town. And there have been a lot of new head coaches that kind of come into town and maybe the offense will look a little bit better. You know, I think of Josh McDaniels with the Raiders, and I don't think there's any sleepers on the Raiders squad, but I think, you know, having an offensive play caller like Josh McDaniels with the Raiders, Chad Mingeley, what up? Get excited. Anthem Sports and Entertainment. Raiders got something going on, but you bring in Josh McDaniels. How is the offense going to look a lot like maybe the Pats 07 offense? I know Tom Brady is not Derek Carr, and I know Devontae Adams is not Randy Moss, and I know Hunter Renfrow is probably not Wes Welker, but that offense could look very similar. It's an offensive-minded coach. They didn't really have an offensive-minded coach last year. I know John Gruden, you know, and he left, and he was doing some things there with the Raiders. But Derek Carr was top five in the league in passing yards. And who is he really throwing to? Darren Waller at the start of the season, then some injuries. He wasn't really around. Hunter Renfrow. Now they got an alpha, right? Like, replace Henry Ruggs and Zay Jones and give him Devontae Adams. I think of a couple things. Yeah, Rashad White, I like that call. We talked about him last week. I'm still in on Leonard Fournette. But White is a man. He is a really nice back. He's explosive. I think maybe this time next year, we're really looking at White as a guy that could be a difference maker. And he could be this year as well. But I still believe in Leonard Fournette, despite him checking in at like whatever it was, 260 or 33 pounds overweight. I still like Fournette. The reasons I still like him is that this is a win now Buck squad. Brady likes Fournette. They brought him back. He's experienced. He's a good pass blocker. He's great in the passing game. He can still run between the tackles. He's got a nose for the end zone. Like, they're just going to rely on him. And I think White will get sprinkled in here and there. But I will say I'm not totally into handcuffing running backs. I feel like it's kind of a waste. I would like to grab somebody else's handcuff. Like, if I draft Cook, I don't want to draft Madison like a few rounds later. I don't like that. I think you could certainly draft Foreman if you draft CMC, but the price on White is, you know, he's kind of rising up draft boards a little bit, but I do like where he's going in around RB 45 to 50. I don't think that's a crazy price to pay. And then you have that Bucks backfield kind of locked up. We know that they want to pass the rock. Like, nobody passed more than them. Brady led the league in passing attempts and passing yards and passing touchdowns. And, you know, our split tools in terms of like pace of play, this team was just always passing. The percentage of passing, I think, was like 66%. The run was 33%. So they're going to chuck. White can catch, which is positive for him as well. He's on my list. We'll get to some other running backs. I did leave him off. I got a couple rookie running backs there. I like KJ Osborne. We can talk about him a little bit later on when I was talking about play calling and different coaches. Kevin O'Connell leaving the Rams and going to Minnesota, where Minnesota over the past years has kind of been really run heavy and just run and use two wideouts. And, you know, Justin Jefferson over 3,000 yards in his first 2 years in the NFL, and Adam Thielen's been a touchdown machine over the past couple of years. But they ran a lot of just three wide receiver sets in LA. Actually, nobody ran more three wide sets than them. I think it was right around 85-86%. I think we'll see that offense in LA kind of come over and be very similar in Minnesota. Would great for Kirk Cousins, clearly. I mean, if we look at Justin Jefferson as maybe the Cooper Kupp role, and Adam Thielen's in there as well, getting sprinkled in the offense, still a big threat inside the red zone. It has been for the past few years. Everyone says that the touchdowns are going to come down, but it just doesn't seem to happen. I know he's getting a little bit older. Maybe that benefits KJ Osborne a little bit, but if they do decide to run more three wide receiver sets, KJ Osborne will be interesting. I like Tim Patrick. He's probably one of my favorite late round wide receivers as well. I think he's really good. I know he's outperformed Jerry Jeudy in each of the past couple of seasons, and you can take that with a grain of salt because Judy's been hurt. Quarterback play hasn't been great. Russell Wilson's fantastic. Tim Patrick's a big body, could be the number one option inside the red zone for Russell Wilson. I wouldn't be surprised. Russell Wilson's not going to, like, he's the new quarterback there. They're going to cater, of course, to his offense. Green Bay offensive coordinators and tight end coaches coming over. The offense could look very similar, like it did in Green Bay. A lot of screen passes and things like that. But ultimately, the favorite guy for Russ could be Tim Patrick. It doesn't have to be Jeudy or Sutton. I think it will be Sutton. I think Sutton's a big red zone threat, deep ball guy. Wilson's a great deep ball passer. But don't be shocked if it's Tim Patrick. I don't think anybody should be shocked if Tim Patrick all of a sudden is, you know, right on par with the rest of these guys. What if it's split up? What if it's six targets each? six combined for the two running backs of the backfield, tight end Albert O. Like, it could be pretty split wide with all of those guys. So I like Patrick. Daily Handle checks in. He likes Joshua Palmer as a sleeper. My boy, he's calling him my boy. I do like Palmer as well. Canadian boy, that's not why I do like him, but he was the first wide receiver that the Chargers drafted after they took, you know, Herbert. Like, so that does mean something to me a little bit. You know, Keenan Allen's on the squad. Of course, Keenan Allen's a beast. Mike Williams is a beast. But the fact that the organization was like, oh, let's get a toy for Herbert. And the first toy that they got was Palmer. I think we'll see him carve out a larger role this year as well. And I think he's a great buy in Dynasty Leagues, Joshua Palmer. But we'll get into maybe some other sleepers. I appreciate you, Mr. Nice Guy, checking in. He says he was just playing. I don't know if you were serious about White being a sleeper. I think he's interesting. I think he could be. But there is a couple news items. I've really just kind of ran through the Robinson one before, but in case you're just joining now, Mr. Nice Guy and Daily Handle and anybody else, Robinson, some news out of Jacksonville Jaguars camp today that Doug Peterson said Robertson will not start the season on the PUP list. And also some of these players that have been placed on the PUP list lately, like Michael Thomas, some defensive players, it doesn't mean that they won't start the season on week one. They could still start week one. If they get thrown on the PUP list during the season, then they're going to miss some time. But they can be thrown on the PUP list right now and they can still play week one and ready to go week one. But the fact that, for me, James Robinson, I'm almost calling him Jason. I think I pretty much did call him Jason. James, the fact that he is practicing and not on the PUP list, huge. It's positive. It's huge. It's amazing news. You don't need to feel different about Travis Etienne. You could still like Etienne. I still like him as well. It's, you know, there's a lot of running back committees across the league. Etienne can line up all over the field in the slot, out wide. There's some things that they could do with Travis Etienne. But huge news for, Robinson. The fact that he's not on that PUP list and where he's going as of right now. Like, so I've been doing this over the past 5 weeks. As we get deeper into the season, I change the dates. You know, I've been doing June 14th to July 25th. And, you know, when we get into August, I'll scrap June. We'll go July 1st. So we'll keep an eye on values and guys moving up draft boards and falling down draft boards and just value on certain guys. But Robinson is a guy that we talked about last week going on average in around 12 as RB 48. So he's RB 47 over the last 6 weeks, NFFC high stakes leagues, people putting their real bucks down on the line. Robinson RB 47, ADP 139. The min is 59, which is very, very telling. We've talked a lot about in the show, the pros and cons about drafting this early. The pros, you can find edges. You can find edges. People obviously have been believing that James Robinson, the potential that James Robinson could be there week one, that he won't miss a lot of time. He suffered the Achilles injury, I believe, week 16 towards the end of last season. We saw Cam Akers come back quicker than normal. I mean, the medicine these days, you know, guys are coming back a little bit quicker. It's a very tough injury to return from, but we've seen guys come back and be okay. Marlon Mack, Deontay Foreman was great last year. Cam Akers wasn't so efficient between the tackles because he ran up against some really tough run defenses and, you know, ultimately he got a lot of the work and a lot of touches. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about him overall, but Robinson coming back. So just in around this range, I'll just give you a little bit of a sneak peek from running back 40 to 50. Isaiah Spiller, Alexander Mattison, Ronald Jones, Damian Pierce, Rashad White, Mr. Nice Guy's boy. We got Nyheim Hines, Daryl Henderson, Kenneth Gainwell, Tyler Allgeier, Khalil Herbert. Robinson in there as RB 47. Out of all those backs from RB 40 and Spiller to RB 15 Herbert, the min pick for all of them, Nyheim Hines, 72. Everybody else is around the 92, 83, 107, 110 for Allgeier, 106, Khalil Herbert. So those guys are not really moving around. Their ADP kind of stands true to what the min pick is, and the max is kind of like 150 and above. For Robinson, his min pick is 59. So that is super telling. You have to go all the way up to RB 32 Rashad Penny to see anybody have a min pick in the 50s. He's got 52. Even before that, Pollard is 60. We got Michael Carter in here, an ADP, roughly RB 39. His min pick is 84. Spiller is 92. Jones is 97. So some people that have drafted have thought to themselves, I'm sure, that Robinson will, they're taking a shot. They're taking that risk saying, we know what Robinson can do. A couple of years ago, before last year, before Urban Meyer, he was a top 10 running back. He was RB6 overall. He was a guy that ran between the tackles, caught some passes. He was the goal line back. I expect him to be the goal line back for Jacksonville this year as well. It's not a great team offensively, but he will be the goal line back. They're not going to mess around like Carlos Hyde. I don't think he's on the squad anymore. Remember all the Carlos Hyde goal line touches? Robinson would march all the way up the field, and then Urban Meyer would put in his old buddy Carlos Hyde and be like, oh, what are you doing? But that's part of the pros, of drafting this early, finding the edges, being in on a guy before, you know, they return to camp early, before they ball out in a preseason game. Remember Amir Abdullah? Remember him when he balled out in a preseason game with the Lions and everybody went nuts and they just drafted him early? Those things happen all the time. They happen all the time. Twitter is crazy these days. The reports are right there in front of your face. Believe it or not, some of these news items that you'll hear that probably aren't really anything at all will have an effect on the way people draft. But it's just a little bit of an insight of where Robinson has been going. We'll check back in 2 weeks and we'll watch him. I would guess, honestly, he'll probably be inside the top 40. I would much rather have him than Michael Carter, Cordarrelle Patterson, Ronald Jones, Nyheim Hines, Darrell Henderson. I would much rather have James Robinson. If James Robinson, you're telling me James Robinson is healthy week one, and he's ready to go, and all signs point to that, he's a top 30 running back for me. He's a top 30 running back for me. And Travis Etienne is jumping up boards. For example, Travis Etienne, RB 17, but he's got the min pick of 17. So we'll check back in a couple weeks and we'll see the min pick of those two guys and where it moves. But if you've drafted already early, you've gotten in on some of these guys that you think will jump up draft boards. And Michael Gallup is another guy that I think, you know, when he's healthy and ready to rock, I think he has upside to be a really strong wide receiver 3. And he's getting drafted in the 50s and in the 60s because he may start the season on the PUP list. That's possible. It is a risk, but if this guy all of a sudden finds a way to get on the field and he's practicing, is another example of guys moving up the board. So that was it really from an NFL news standpoint. There wasn't really a whole lot, but I think that's a big one. I think it's a huge one because Etienne has been one of the biggest risers. He's on a lot of people's breakouts and sleeper boards, and I understand that, and I can back that up as well. But Robinson is one of those undervalued backs as of right now. We'll switch gears to the NBA. I got NHL note here in a second. Just small talk here. There were reports out of The Athletic that the Boston Celtics had a package in place to offer for Kevin Durant, and the Nets turned it down. It was reported that it was Derek White, Jaylen Brown, and a pick, and the Celtics had offered that to the Nets, and the Nets said, no thanks. We would like to have Marcus Smart part of the package as well. Listen, I mean, KD, I know he's a game changer and some still view him as one of the better players in the NBA. I think he's still a top 5 player in the NBA. I don't know if I'm going as high as top 3. I think he can be a game changer, but I don't think that would be a good move for the Celtics. I don't think that they should trade all their pieces. Some people had, and I tweeted that, and some people had said to me that, you know, it's exactly what the Celtics were missing last year and maybe would have put them over the top. Now, I agree with that. But also, if you're putting Kevin Durant on that Celtics squad and you're taking away White and you're taking away Brown and you're potentially taking away Marcus Smart, Defensive Player of the Year, you're taking away a lot of pieces from that squad. So yes, I think that Kevin Durant could help a team like Miami, like the Celtics. But what are you doing? Are you giving away 4 or 5 pieces? Are you just going to give 4 to 6 first-round picks and maybe a roster spot? Sure, but I think the Nets are being pretty picky here. I think they want some roster players. So I don't know, man. I'm not totally in on Kevin Durant just going to a new team and that team all of a sudden being an NBA championship contender squad. I joke that the only championship team that he would win on are the Warriors. And I do believe that because the Warriors wouldn't trade Klay and they wouldn't trade Curry to get KD. So if it's going to be those three as the core again, maybe it has to be Draymond and some other pieces like Poole or Wiggins, Wiseman, whatnot, they could still get it done with that core. That's it. That's all I'm going to say, as I think Kevin Durant is a little bit overrated. And when you say that, people just seem to jump all over you. The Raptors. Durant is also turning 34, very injury prone. Absolutely. Daily Handle follows the Raptors pretty closely. You hear some of the packages that, you know, part of the package that they want for Kevin Durant in Toronto. Burns, Siakam, I don't know what else. Fred VanVleet. What are you doing? You giving away all the pieces? Then what? You just have Kevin Durant and 2 other players? You ruin with the quality of the bench. Let's relax on Kevin Durant a little bit. I quickly, on the way out of this second segment here, is a huge trade went down in the NHL. Matthew Tkachuk, we talked about it on Friday and how this deal will potentially go down. I did have Florida as one of the potential landing spots, but I did not think that this would be the deal. It was absolutely shocking. The NHL offseason has looked a lot like the NBA offseason in years prior. Flames traded away Matthew Tkachuk, a conditional fourth round pick in 2025 to the Florida Panthers in exchange for Jonathan Huberdeau, who had over 100 points last year, was an absolute beast. Mackenzie Weegar, who's a really good defenseman as well. Cole Schmidt in there, and a conditional first round pick in 2025. So a couple things. Matthew Tkachuk, 42 goals, over 100 points. He's probably going to play alongside Alexander Barkov. Maybe sometimes, you know, he'll play along Sam Bennett. I think it's a great get. I think Tkachuk is a really good player. They locked him up at a contract of 9.5 for a few years. I think, you know, 7 or 8 years. I think that's a pretty decent contract. But man, they gave up a lot. Did they not give up a lot? I mean, they gave up Jonathan Huberdeau, Mackenzie Weegar. Like, those are two really, really good players. I think the Florida Panthers are... I think that they're pressing. I think that they're really pressing. They gave up a bunch of draft picks and prospects last year. Owen Tippett for 30 games of Claude Giroux, a first round pick for 30 games of Ben Chiarot. Both of those guys are gone. They're super thin on the blue line now with Mackenzie Weegar no longer on the squad. They don't have a first round pick until 2026. They don't have a first round pick in each of the next 3 years. They're $3 million under the cap as of right now. I kind of understand their thinking, like Mackenzie Weegar and Huberdeau. Maybe they feel like they couldn't extend those guys. They both have 1 year left on their deal. Huberdeau is probably in asking, if he had another campaign where he had 100 plus points, he was probably asking for $11 million. And I don't feel like they could do that with Bobrovsky on the books at $10 plus million. Like, are they going to be able to get rid of that contract? I don't think so. They don't even have any first round picks to get rid of a Bobrovsky or to get rid of a Patrick Hornquist. So they need to make another move to get shed at least $4 million off their cap. On the Flames side of things, I think they did pretty well, considering Matthew Tkachuk was saying that he didn't want to sign a long-term deal there. He wanted to leave the squad. That's, you know, it's tough. You're up against the wall. You know that everybody knows that you got to deal this guy, right? Everybody's probably lowballing the Flames. The fact that they got two really good players kind of puts them back into the conversation of maybe being a playoff squad, because like the thought of losing Johnny Hockey and then losing Matthew Tkachuk for, you know, peanuts would put this team outside of the playoff spot. But now you got Mackenzie Weegar with Rasmus Anderson and Noah Hanifin. Those are three strong defensemen. And then you got Huberdeau, give you a little, help the power play out a little bit. But ultimately, we'll look at this deal after next year. With 1 year left, does Huberdeau decide that he wants to stick with the Flames? Does Mackenzie Weegar want to stick with the Flames? But ultimately, they did get two guys back. Maybe they can have some conversations with them this year about extending them. And then if it doesn't work out, they can flip them at the deadline and they get a couple pieces that way. I do believe Jonathan Huberdeau will be a Montreal Canadian after next year. But what do I know? I know nothing. But that was a massive trade. Also, Oliver Bjorkstrand left Columbus as they try to free up some cap space. They signed Patrick Laine. They signed Johnny Hockey. So they traded him to the Seattle Kraken. I think that's a pretty good get for the Kraken. Bjorkstrand is a former 20-goal scorer. I think he has upside to be a 30-goal scorer. He's going to get plenty of ice time over in Seattle. But woof, what a trade. Huberdeau stocked down a little bit, right? He's not going to play with Barkov. He's not going to play with all those studs. And Tkachuk, I think his value probably stays the same. But what a 1-2 punch it's going to be with Barkov and Tkachuk. I love when trades happen. Things happen. Love it. Good stuff. Calgary getting some pieces for Tkachuk. We're going to break. We're going to really turn our attention to football here over the last few segments. We're going to take a look at the Tennessee Titans. I got sleeper running backs. And here in the next segment, we'll actually look at round 14, Tyler, of NFFC drafts. And we'll take a look at a few targets, a few guys that are going in that draft or in that round, rather. Keep it locked. Lots to get to here on Main Streets. Welcome back in. Let's take a look at NFFC drafts over the last 5 weeks. Say that five times fast. I dare you. You can't do it. You can't do it. Round 14 right here. A couple intriguing names on the board. Gus Edwards, I think, is pretty undervalued, to be honest. You know, J.K. Dobbins, there was that back and forth. Not really a back and forth, but Ian Rapsheet, you know, Rappaport. Rapsheet said, you know, J.K. Dobbins may not be ready. Dobbins said, how dare you? I'm going to be ready. I'm going to do everything I can kind of be ready for week one. But even still, like Gus Edwards, it's a run-first offense. He's going to be sprinkled in. As long as he's healthy and ready to go, I think he's a pretty decent target in there. Jamal Williams, you know, is your last pick. Swift has looked really good in each of his first two seasons in the NFL, but he has suffered injuries in both of those seasons. Jamal Williams behind what is, in my opinion, a top 10 offensive line in football in Detroit. And, you know, they brought in some weapons, of course, DJ Chark and Jameson Williams. And, you know, I think Goff could actually be a decent quarterback in super flex leagues. I think the offense will be much improved this year. I think he's worth a shot. Davis Price, I think, is absolutely worth a shot. He's probably one of my favorite targets in this spot, round three pick from San Fran. There's been a lot of round three busts in the NFL draft. CJ Procise comes to mind. Trey Sermon last year comes to mind for sure. But nobody should be shocked if Davis Price was the guy at some point for Kyle Shanahan. He loves to ride the hot hand. I do like Elijah Mitchell. I think he's a really good value in drafts as well, as a guy that's probably going to get anywhere from, you know, 16 to 20 touches out of the backfield. But it could be Davis Price season. We could see him. I think at this point in your draft, you're really just kind of shooting for upside, and I think he brings that to the table. Jameis Winston could be, you know, I think we could be talking about him as like a single quarterback, top 12, top 15 quarterback. He's roughly going around quarterback 20 in NFFC high stakes leagues, best ball leagues, underdog included as well. He's got a ton of weapons around him. We talked about the Saints last week. He didn't really throw the ball as much as what we were used to seeing, you know, go back to his season in Tampa, where he had a ton of picks, but he also had a ton of touchdowns, and he threw the ball about 40 times per game. He threw it around 20 times per game last year with the Saints. No Sean Payton. Hopefully for him, Michael Thomas is ready to go. Chris Olave, Jarvis Landry. There's a lot of really good weapons in New Orleans where he could maybe, you know, be something, be a top 15 quarterback. I think the Saints are a really good stack in best ball formats because of the price and all their players, pretty cheap in there. Tyler Higbee, no thanks. Gerald Everett, I think, is okay. I think he's an okay target. You know, Cook is gone. He showed up last year at moments with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. I think, you know, if you're waiting it out at the tight end position, Gerald Everett and David Njoku, I think, are pretty decent targets at this point of your draft. You know, if you missed out on a Cole Kmet or an Irv Smith that you wanted to get, like that next breakout tight end, I think, you know, leaving your draft with Everett and Njoku, I think it's okay. I think it's fine. Brian Robinson could, I view Antonio Gibson as a bust. I don't think he's a true bell cow back. I don't think he's got the body type to be, you know, a back that gets, you know, 300, 250 carries. You know, we saw some injuries from him last year. He got a lot of goal line work. I think Robinson can come in and take some of that goal line work. They brought back JD McKissick. McKissick's involved, you know, on the third down at 2 minute drills. That was the case last year. And when we talked about McKissick last week, we mentioned that only, I think there was like three running backs or four running backs that have more catches than him over the last 3 years. Like, he has been involved. He's a really good pass catcher, and they brought him back for a reason. I'm not, you know, Evan Engram. I'm just not doing it. I think it's a good buy low for the Jags. Why not? But no thanks for me. Deontay Foreman, I think, we touched on him earlier just quickly. You know, I think if you draft CMC first, second overall, why not, right? I like Foreman as a handcuff. Yeah, absolutely. I think this is a good call by you, Daily Handle. I think he's probably the number one handcuff in the game. Maybe Madison is right there with him. There's no question. And Foreman, we saw a really good sample of Foreman last year with the Titans filling in for Derrick Henry when he suffered the injury. He was really, really strong for the Tennessee Titans, running between the tackles. The guy that has come back from Achilles injury, that seems to be the topic of this show with James Robinson in there. And we mentioned Cam Akers as well. Marlon Mack, I think, is a pretty good value as well. I'm in on Damian Pierce. I just feel like there's an opportunity at this point of your draft. Like Pierce, if you miss it on Pierce, I think he's a good target as well. Only Rex Burkhead in the backfield. The offensive line is not awful. It's not atrocious. And you know, Davis Mills did okay last year. There's just an opportunity for touches. And there was a game last year where they gave Rex Burkhead like 20 some odd carries. That could be the case for Marlon Mack. He's got a 1,000-yard campaign on his resume. Another guy coming back from an Achilles injury a couple years ago. I think he's a decent target in around that range as well. But the guy that I wanted to bring my attention to, and I'm not breaking any news here, is KJ Osborne. And I don't need to get into it too much. If you've been following along here on this show or last week, I talked a lot about his usage last year at the start of games, at the start of, you know, second halves. To me, that's very telling for a coaching staff, you know, just to kind of game plan in around him. And now they have a new coaching staff in Kevin O'Connell, who was the offensive coordinator for the Rams last year, that ran wide receiver three sets, LA did rather, more than any team in the league. And I double checked, it's 87% that they ran three wide receiver sets. So that's great news for KJ Osborne to maybe be more pass friendly as in years past, you know, with Zimmer and defensive minded coach in there. And who knows, like I believe in Adam Thielen. I think he could, you know, bounce back, and you know, we're getting a decent value on him because of the injury. And last year, you see the note there that Osborne scored 5 touchdowns in his final 6 games last year and averaged 13 fantasy points per game in a full point setting. But ultimately, he did benefit from Thielen suffering that injury. But at the flip side, Thielen, you know, he's a little bit older, and who knows? I think he's going to be bounced back. But if he doesn't bounce back, all of a sudden, like KJ Osborne, you know, if Thielen suffered another injury, KJ Osborne as the number two inside this offense would be a wide receiver four for me. But he finishes wide receiver 40. We're getting him around wide receiver 68, mid-60s, decent A-dot in there. More room to grow in year number three for KJ Osborne. We are going to wrap up and talk about the Tennessee Titans. Not a lot of weapons there to talk about, but we will address Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, and of course, Derrick Henry starting to fall down draft boards. I'll tell you where he's going over the past couple weeks next here on Game Plus Network. Welcome back in. Let's take a look at the Tennessee Titans. Last year, 12-5. They beat some really good teams last year. San Fran, Arizona. They spanked Kansas City. Remember that? 27-3. Everyone was like, what's wrong with the Chiefs? But nobody was giving credit to the Tennessee Titans. They also beat the Bills last year. I think they beat the Bills in back-to-back seasons. They've beaten some really good teams over the past couple of seasons. But you see their win total is nowhere near that 12 mark, right? 9.5. You can get 8.5. To go over 8.5 is juice. To go under 9.5 is juice. I kind of view them as like an 8-win team. Plus 170 to win the AFC South. I think that's a decent shot. If you're looking for a team at plus money that could win in the division, this is probably one of those teams that could do it at plus 170. 18-1 to win the AFC, and then also 35-1 to win the Super Bowl. Let's transition over to some of their weapons, Tyler. Of course, it's Derrick Henry right up at the top, right? I mean, he's the guy, RB6, ADP 9. He's really fallen down draft boards, though. RB6, I've seen him go in drafts in the second round. When I did that cut line draft for NFFC best ball, I saw him go mid-second. I was like, whoa, I was kind of shocked to see that. But then, you know, the guys that was doing the draft with said that had been the trend. So his min pick, NFFC, over the last 6 weeks, number one. People are willing to take him number one overall. His max, 17. So 17 would be mid-second round here, kind of in this format. Ryan Tannehill last year finished as quarterback 12. This year he's going as quarterback 24. He does have some rushing upside, but of course he loses A.J. Brown. A.J. Brown is the biggest loss here on this squad, an alpha wide receiver. Replaced with Robert Woods and then Treylon Burks, who, you know, they traded 18th overall pick, right? The Eagles did for A.J. Brown, also a third in there. And then they get Treylon Burks with that draft pick. And they also acquired Robert Woods. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine showed up at times last year. Just wanted to put him on the board as like wide receiver 97. You're not really thinking about him in your standard 12 or 10 team league with your home buddies. And then Austin Hooper actually could be, you know, interesting, certainly in maybe two tight end premiums. I don't think we'll ever get to the point where we're like, yeah, you know, roll out Austin Hooper as like your tight end one in a league with like 10 of your buddies or 12 of your buddies. Maybe we're thinking about him in DFS, but I think he could be sneaky. I think he goes to a little bit of a better situation from Cleveland to Tennessee. It's still a run first offense in Tennessee like Cleveland was, but there was a lot of just moving pieces, Harrison Bryant and David Njoku along with Hooper. So really it's kind of just Hooper there in Tennessee. But again, I don't think he's a huge draft target. Look at the next side by side, Robert Woods, Treylon Burks, wide receiver 45, wide receiver 46, right? You kind of have to make a decision what you want to do. What do you want to go with the young buck you've never seen in the NFL before in Treylon Burks? Or they draft him first round, you know, could be a target hog in there. There's some conflicting reports in the offseason, asthma, learning the playbook, things like that. I think he's going to be fine. I think he's a decent target, but personally, I would rather have Robert Woods. Give me the veteran back at this price. I have him ranked inside the top 40. Maybe I am a little bit crazy when it comes to Robert Woods. Of course, he is now 30 years old, and he is coming off a significant knee injury. Last year, he had 45 grabs, 556 yards, and 4 touchdowns in 9 games. It was a much better offense, a pass-happy offense, a better play caller, a better quarterback. But Robert Woods has been really good over the past couple of seasons. 90 grabs in 2020, 90 grabs in 2019, 86 grabs in 2018. When he jumped into the Rams in 2017, he played 11 games. He had 56 grabs. It's kind of where we saw him towards the end of his Buffalo career. He was just like a 50-catch guy. He was on the field, you know, was a really good run blocker. But then we saw a different bit of a role for him. I think he could be the alpha in this offense. I'm into him. I like the price. I think, again, if I had a choice between both of these guys and the cost is the same. Give me Robert Woods. We've already seen him on the field running around. The knee looks good. I think that's a positive. Ryan Tannehill has had some issues over the past couple seasons. We'll look back at Ryan Tannehill's season a couple years ago, and that will be the outlier for him. Very accurate. You know, he does have a little bit of a rushing floor. We're not looking at him as a strong candidate to be, you know, a fantasy asset for your quarterback, like a single quarterback lead, no chance. But I think he'll rely on the veteran and Robert Woods. What I do want to say on the way out here is that Derrick Henry, at 24.2 fantasy points per game in a full point setting, that was number one in the NFL ahead of Jonathan Taylor, and he only played 10 games. He played eight games. He was just shy of 1,000 yards. He had 10 touchdowns. My goodness, this guy, he averaged 27 attempts per game on the ground over a full season. That's 465 attempts. If he falls to RB5, RB6 towards the end of the first round, I think you have yourself a steal. I wouldn't take him in the top three, but the volume is going to be there. You're getting a bit of a discount because of the broken foot last year. The offense is still going to run through him. He's still an absolute beast. And he's been catching more passes to the backfield, 15, 18, 19. He had 18 last year in eight games. It doesn't seem like a whole lot, but you go 18 over a full course of the season, that's roughly 25 to 30 added element for a guy that is going to touch the ball at least 22, 23 times a game on the ground. I think he's a pretty decent value. But the Colts win that division. It's the Colts division. The Titans miss the playoffs. And they struggle without A.J. Brown. Next up, I got a bunch of wide receiver sleepers for you here on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. Going to talk a lot about running backs here in this next segment. I got some sleepers, some guys that I think could be, you know, game changers in your fantasy football leagues, and other guys that I feel like are less sexy, but just undervalued. So a lot of running backs, and that's really what a sleeper is, isn't it? A sleeper could be just somebody who you feel will outdo their draft price. I mean, heck, it could be A.J. Dillon. A.J. Dillon going around RB 20, 24, 25. Like, I feel like that guy could be a little undervalued. I think Miles Sanders, honestly, is a little bit undervalued as well. Is he a sleeper? I mean, I'll let you make that decision. But ultimately, I think a sleeper is somebody that will outperform their current ADP. So I got a few names here for you. I'm going to start with Tyler Allgeier of the Atlanta Falcons. So Allgeier last year, 276 carries, 1,600 yards, 23 touchdowns. He caught 28 passes. The reason I like him, he's a big body running back. And I don't feel like they have a running back, an actual prototypical running back on their squad. Cordarrelle Patterson was really good last season. He was great. I mean, he really was. But the carries started to come down towards the end of last season. The quarterback play is not going to be as strong. Matt Ryan's not there. You know, will Ridder or Marcus Mariota be able to find him? The offense may change a little bit. I don't think he's going to be the goal line back. Damian Williams is not a guy that can run between the tackles really either. So Allgeier could actually find himself in a pretty big role. Out of all the rookie running backs, he's probably in the best landing spot for a guy that could maybe get 15 carries a game. Atlanta's not going to score a lot of points, but he could get the goal line work there. We already told you he caught 20 passes is not like significant number, but he can catch a couple balls into the backfield as well. So for where he's going around RB 45, 46, I think he makes for a pretty good target. The other guy that I had on that list is a rookie in James Cook. So Buffalo just really hasn't had a back that can catch it to the backfield, like Singletary here and there. Zach Moss is a bust. Didn't really work out. They tried to get JD McKissick. It looked like they had him, and then he went back to Washington. This is a second-round pick that the Bills spent on James Cook, brother of Dalvin. He can catch the ball to the backfield. He can be a game changer. He can run between the tackles, turn a 5-yard run into a 18-yard run. Things like that. You know, having this added element to this Buffalo Bills offense, I think, is significant. And they haven't really had that, like I said. So they want this clearly. McKissick didn't work out. Spending that second round pick on James Cook, I think he makes for a strong target, even in, you know, half point settings, but certainly in a full point PPR league, I think not bad. And he's going around RB 37, so he's a little bit more expensive than Allgeier, but I think he's still a really strong target. And then some of these other running backs on the board here, Khalil Herbert. You know, there's been a lot of talk of what the Chicago Bears did in the offseason in the draft for Justin Fields, and what they did was absolutely nothing. Khalil Herbert last year had some moments when David Montgomery was hurt. I think this is going to be closer to a committee than a lot of people think. I think Montgomery's a really good running back as well, but I think they're going to have a lot of zone reads, outside runs in Chicago, a new regime. It's going to be a run-first squad. I know that Justin Fields likes to run and call his own number as well, but Herbert is going to be sprinkled into this offense, and we already saw what it could look like if Dave Montgomery Montgomery is out and not playing. And what it looks like is a guy that could get, look at the stretch. He had 18 carries against Las Vegas in week 5, 19 in week 6, 18 in week 7, 23 in week 8, and he topped 72 yards in all of those. He hit the century mark in one game, and he had 97 yards in another game, and he caught 8 passes over that span as well in that 4-game span. I think he's a really good target. Jerick McKinnon and Darrell Williams, these guys that you could just take towards the end of your draft. That's it. Jerick McKinnon actually led the Chiefs in the playoffs in terms of yards. He was catching balls out of the backfield. Ronald Jones was brought in. He's not a pass catcher. They probably don't view CEH as a pass catcher either. McKinnon could catch a bunch of balls out of the backfield. And the same thing with Darrell Williams. 1L, 2Rs, could maybe take that Chase Edmonds role in Arizona. James Conner, I think, is due for some touchdown regression. He wasn't great between the tackles. I don't think Williams will be that type of back either. But if he's going to get in this offense, no DeAndre Hopkins for the first 6 weeks. AJ Green, a little bit older. I think Darrell Williams can step in and have just a little bit more than a third down role as well. We're short on time, so we're going to save those undervalued running backs for tomorrow. Again, they weren't sexy names, but a couple backs that I think could help you out towards the end of your draft. I got MLB picks to round out Meat Streets. Welcome back in. A ton of action around the diamond here. I got a few MLB picks and some props around out Mean Streets. Let's start here with Jake Odorizzi over 4.5 strikeouts, getting this at plus money here. A matchup against the Oakland Athletics. He's actually, his last two starts came against the Oakland Athletics. He racked up 12 strikeouts in those two outings, and he tossed 12 and one-third innings. He only has 36 strikeouts in 48 innings, but the A's rank 8th in strikeout rate overall at 23.4% and 7th against right-handed pitching, just a little bit higher at 23.8%. They also check in with the second lowest WOBA, WRC plus, against right-handed pitching this season, and they just rank dead last in WOBA on base percentage and OPS overall. So give me Jake Odorizzi over 4.5 strikeouts. A couple other picks here that I like to round out the show. Following with the Astros, I like them to score 5 runs here today, and I like them on the run line at -1.5. They're going to see pitches from Adam Aller of the Athletics in his last start against the Astros. He only lasted 4 1/3. He gave up 6 hits, 3 earned runs, 2 homers. He's got a 5.93 K per nine and a 6.26 walks per nine. So he's walking more guys than he is striking out, and he's got an 8.56 ERA. Nick Lodolo in there. Lodolo is a nice little rookie. He's got some strikeout upside. He's cleared this number in 3 of his past 5 starts. He has 38 punchouts in 26 innings up against Miami. They have the highest strikeout rate in all of baseball at 27% against southpaws. Benintendi in there, stolen base against Noah Syndergaard. And then my upset would be the Colorado Rockies. They're going to see pitches from a lefty here on the hill for Milwaukee. And they are one of the better teams against lefties, actually. They check in with the second best WOBA against left-handed pitching. Good luck around the diamond. We'll talk to you soon. Cheers.